Christ's authority was future. The power, literally authority, of Christ mentioned in Matthew 28:18 is kingly authority. For Matthew writes throughout of Jesus the King and of his coming kingdom. He is now called the Prince of Life and a Savior, Acts 3:15. Therefore the disciples did not baptize anyone in the name of the three persons of the Godhead, neither should we thus baptize. When the Jews accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King, then he will say to them, "All power, authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18b. That is all kingly authority, for he will be reigning as universal emperor of heaven and earth. He has not possessed that royal authority during this church age, for he has only been Lord and head of the church, his body. Jesus reigns today only in the hearts and lives of those individuals who trust him and yield to him. It is a hidden reign of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans 14:17. Thus he is preparing the church for his heavenly kingdom, 2 Timothy 4:18. After Christ shall receive his universal kingly authority from the Father, then he will command Israel to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then people will be saved as nations, Acts 15:17, Revelation 21:24, and Isaiah 66:8. During this church age, folks are saved as individuals, Mark 16:15. Only one name. How can the formula of Matthew 28:19 be made to harmonize with that which the apostles used? They acknowledged only one name, the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus. But in Matthew 28, three names are given. The titles Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are certainly not one name or one title. For this reason, some people who are ignorant of the correct setting baptized by triune immersion in three names. There must be some one name of deity which those Jewish disciples understood, a name which embraces the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We find this comprehensive name in the Old Testament. Moses had said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," Deuteronomy 6:4. There, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, meaning three persons. Couple with this Zechariah 14:9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." In that very day of our Lord's return, he will obtain one name. In the Hebrew, the word Lord, in capitals in our text, is Adonai or Yahweh, and in the American Revised Version is rendered Jehovah. But Deuteronomy 7:4 gives that one name as Adonai or our Elohim, the Lord our God. Now, since Elohim, the Hebrew word for God, expresses three personalities, Israel will understand to baptize into the one name of Adonai our Elohim, which embraces the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit. In the Son dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9. That is, the fullness of deity is displayed in the man Christ Jesus. As a compensation for the Son's faithful and wonderful work of redemption, the Father will honor him for 1,000 years with the fivefold title mentioned in Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or Father of Duration, the Prince of Peace. The titles belonging to the Trinity will be accorded to Jesus, the man. Israel will not baptize in the name of Jesus, or Lord Jesus, because his body, the church, will have been completed. The people who shall be saved will be his subjects, and not his mystical body, the church. The distinction between Lord, Adonai, or Jehovah, and Jesus as Lord, Adon, is seen in Psalm 110:1 and quoted in Acts 2:34. It reads thus in Hebrew, "Adonai, Jehovah, or Lord, said unto my Adon, master or head, sit thou at my right hand during this age until I make thy foes thy footstool. Jesus will be a dawn through eternity. 6. We baptize believers in the name of the Lord or Lord Jesus and thus acknowledge him as the one only head of his body, the church. The Father is not the head of the church, neither is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is improper to be baptized in either of their names or in a name that embraces the Father and the Holy Spirit. We do not baptize in Jesus' name as God, as if he were also the Father and the Holy Ghost. We recognize him as Lord of his people today. We do not deny nor discard the Father nor the Holy Spirit, but give the Son the place, honor, and title which the Father and the Spirit require, even as Lord or head or master of his church. This is taught in the Acts, study Acts chapter 2, and the epistles, and it was practiced by the apostles. It is entirely logical. In his commission to the disciples, Jesus bid them to do everything in his name. He said, "In my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. 5 things are mentioned here which should be done in Jesus' name. How can it be thought strange that his followers be baptized in his name? In the Acts, we find that the disciples did as Jesus taught them, for God made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. The lame man was healed in Jesus' name, Acts 3:6 and 16, and Acts 4:10. Salvation is in his name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Acts 4:12. The apostles spoke and taught in Jesus' name, Acts 4, verses 17 and 18. Signs and wonders were wrought in Jesus' name, Acts 4, verse 30. They suffered shame for his name, Acts 5, verse 41. Everything was done in Jesus' name. Should he not also do the adding? Yes, hence the Lord added to the church such as were being saved, Revised Version, or they were added to the Lord, Acts 2:47, 5:14, and 11:24. In harmony with Peter's instruction in Acts 2, verse 38, Paul baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 19:5, which is implied in 1 Corinthians 1:13. Why then should baptism be an exception? Why should it not be in the name of the Lord Jesus? If we should baptize in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, why should not all the other things mentioned be done in the name of the Trinity? Then, 30 years later, Paul gives one sweeping exhortation which should silence all cavil. He said, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Colossians 3:17. Certainly no one has any scriptural right to make baptism an exception, but by doing all things, even baptizing in Jesus' name, we acknowledge him as the head, Lord, of his body, the church. Now, we do not unchristianize nor disfellowship saints who do not see this precious truth. We pray for them. They are our brethren. Nor should they unchristianize us and disfellowship us and say things about us and of our teaching which are not true. Neither do we demand those once baptized according to Matthew 28:19 to be baptized again. This is a matter of conscience. It is a joyous privilege to be baptized in Jesus' name as Lord and acknowledge him as the present rightful head and director of the church. He himself termed it my church or congregation, in distinction from the church, the congregation of Israel. Compare Matthew 16:18 with Matthew 18:17 and mark the wide difference. 7. We baptized in the name of the Lord long before this new issue theory, which was on the map hundreds of years ago, was revived. In studying the Acts of the Apostles, we saw that they never baptized according to Matthew 28. And in harmony with this truth, we have endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace by recognizing only one body or one church. If these 7 points do not shut the mouths of gainsayers, they should be sufficient at least to show to honest hearts that we have nothing in common with the New Issue theory. Appendix. New Issue struggles and squirms to prove that the three persons of the Godhead are simply three manifestations of one divine person. They claim that Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son. According to the Word, God is the name of the Father, as plain as language can make it. The phrases God the Father or God our Father occur frequently. Note especially the first verses of Paul's epistles where the distinction between the Father and Son are held continually. God is the Father's name and Jesus is the Son's name. Not once is the Father named Jesus. Let us see how the three manifestations work on the bank of Jordan. Plain Bible statements are grasped easily by children and common folk, but brains only can get by with this theory. According to their logic, Jesus manifested himself as God the Father and as the Holy Ghost by anointing himself with the Holy Ghost, which is only Jesus himself. Queer, is it not? Note his prayer in John 17:1. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. That is, according to New Issue twaddle, Jesus manifested the Father by praying to himself, and manifested the Son by glorifying himself, that himself might glorify himself. How ridiculous! Now, to manifest the Holy Spirit, try New Issue theory on John 15:26. But when the Comforter, Jesus myself, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, me, myself, even the Spirit of truth, Jesus, myself, which proceedeth from the Father, Jesus, myself, he, I, myself, shall testify of me. Apply their theory to Christ's mediatorship, for there is one God, Jesus, and one mediator between God, Jesus, and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. How silly! But that is the inevitable logic of the three manifestation theory. Apply their theory to Acts 2, verses 23 through 34. This Jesus hath God, Jesus himself, raised up, therefore being by the right hand of God, Jesus himself, exalted, and having received of the Father, Jesus himself, the promise of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus himself, he hath shed forth this, Jesus, which ye now see and hear. For David saith, the Lord, Jesus, saith unto my Lord, Jesus, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. That is, Jesus Christ raised him up himself and set himself down, but called himself the Holy Ghost. In the Hebrew, Psalm 110:1, from which Peter quoted, says, Adonai said to my Adon, sit thou at my right hand, which clearly announces two definite and distinct persons. Our Lord silenced the Pharisees with this same citation, for they denied the two personalities of deity. Matthew 22:44. New Issue claims that the Word in John 1, verses 1 and 2, was simply a thought, a concept, or the expression of a thought in God's mind. That is, in the beginning was a thought, and the thought was with God, and the thought was God. And since Jesus is the present name of God, as they say, Jesus is only a thought, a concept, or expression of a thought. Does that not stink like unity or Christian science? John speaks of our Lord as a living intelligence, saying, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verses 3 and 4. These things could not be said of a thought or concept. John says that he was in the bosom of the Father as the only begotten Son. John 1, verses 3 and 4 and 18. Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of God. Daniel 3:25. The Lord spoke of himself as God's Son and not simply a concept, saying, I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I came forth from the Father, John 8:42, 16:27 and 28. and 17:8. He spoke of the Father as a person distinct from himself and not as another manifestation of himself, saying, "As thou hast sent me into the world, distinct from thyself, even so have I also sent them into the world, distinct from myself. I pray for them that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Excerpts from John 17, verses 18 through 21a.